Blog Talk Radio.
Those of you that's already listened to the show, just kind of check this out while we wait on the others, okay?
Again, I apologize for the slight delay, but I just want to give everybody time enough to hear the whole show. All right? So check this out, family.
Prepare yourself for your blessing. It's your time now.
You waited and waited.
Good evening, everybody. This is Ratasha, Donna's daughter. I decided to do this recording as a request from my Uncle Seth. I first want to say that I appreciate so much what's being done with this family, this talk radio. I think it's the best idea ever. It's hard for me to make time in the evenings to get around to, you know, listen during the time that's allotted just because of the kids and getting them off to bed and ready for school in the morning and all that type of thing. But I just want to take a moment just to say how grateful I am. Even though I don't have a chance to tune in, I do take the time to listen to the broadcast later on during the week. And the last recording was, you know, Aunt Robbie was on there, and I thought that it was fascinating to hear a lot of the things that she had done in her life and that she's continuing to do, a lot of information that I wasn't aware of. I think that my kids, you know, this is valuable not only for myself but for my children to know, you know, from whom they come and the compliments that people have made in their own families. So it's wonderful. So, again, I just want to say thank you. I want to say hello to everybody. I hope everybody's doing well.
I was just Tasha paying a little bit of homage to the show. That's an older clip, but I just thought just to hear her words and to remind y'all just how important the show is to a lot of people. So she had more to say, but I just wanted to just get that little bit in. Thank you, Tasha, for those kind words, even though that's an older clip, because actually last week, as y'all know, we didn't have any Robbie on. Don't want y'all to flip out the money. Robbie didn't speak last week. But anyway, I just want to again welcome y'all to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is the show, the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network. I'm Seth, and we just got a lot lined up for today. And I want to, before I go any further, just give you a sample on what has been going on with previous shows. And this was actually our first show. This was Kayla Booker, and I just want y'all to just get a taste because many of y'all have yet to listen to a lot of the older shows. You've been listening, especially in the archives after the show go off. That's where we get most of our listens, people listening. I call it our listens. But we get most of our listens after the show. So do appreciate it. Appreciate it. I think we're over 1,000 right now. Of course, we have a lot of shows, but that's still a lot. Anytime you get that many listens, whether it be some of y'all listening more than once or not, but that's a good thing. But anyway, here's a clip from our first show. Check this out. This is me after interviewing Caleb Booker, which is Azalee and Caleb Booker's oldest son, Caleb Jr. Check this out. This is me questioning Caleb Booker on politics. Check this out.
Republican, independent, how you feel politically? What's your political stand on Obama? And just give me a quick nutshell of where you stand on everyday events with politics.
Well, I'm a Democrat. You know, I've been a Democrat since I can remember Dwight Eisenhower.
Why?
Because it appears to me that Democrats is for helping the poor, you know, poor people, and the, you know, less fortunate people of society. Okay, Republicans seem to be more interested in the wealth and the rich. You know, to me, I can't see that 10% of the world population, of the money, the economy of the world, belong to 10% of people. You know,
that's true.
So
actually, it's true, and that's what this whole Occupy Wall Street is all about. They're upset because 1% of America owns most of the wealth. I think 1%. I know 10% own 80% of the wealth. I know that, and I think 1% own like 60. It's pretty pathetic.
And the cool part about that, and the cool part about it, is 70% of the wealth was inherited. See?
just to give y'all a sample. So there are Caleb, Brooklyn, and I, my Uncle Bud, and maybe different relationships, y'all. But there he was just talking about his view on politics. And, again, what we try to do is spotlight on an elder, which we now are spotlighting different people in the family, not just elders, because we have went through quite a few elders, and we now, like I said, is going through people probably around 50 older and older, and then we'll try to do 40 and older. Eventually, you will have an opportunity to be interviewed, as well as myself, and everybody will not be strangers. We can always just go back in the archives, and if we desire, and click on the different people and what they want to do or what they have done, just a little bit about them. Here's another short segment just like that about Caleb Booker's hobby. Check this out. Again, the very first show we did.
Let me ask you this. Name a few hobbies you do. That really, really, really you like. If I say name the top things you'd enjoy doing, just give me top five things. You just really, I mean, if you became a wealthy man tomorrow, you'll still do these things. What is it?
Well, a lot of things I would do, I wouldn't have to be a wealthy man.
I hear you on that.
Like I used to take flying lessons, you know, and that was really cheap, you know. I could take the money that I was spending on a Friday night getting drunk to pay for my flying lesson Saturday, you know. That's how cheap it was. And even today, compared to other hobbies and stuff, flying lessons is very expensive.
Where did you fly?
Huh? I flew the single engine Cessna. You know, that's single engine. And
okay. How long did you take flying lessons?
I took about 5 weekends. Yeah, about 5 weekends. And I belong to this flying club. See, the thing about this flying club is the first time you sit in the airplane, right, you take off. You're the one that's taking the plane up. You're the one that's flying the plane. Well, the instructor is sitting on the side of you. He telling you what to do, but you start the first day in the plane. You fly. And every time you go, you fly first. You get the flying thing down. Get some of the flying hours in.
That will be a trip. For the first time you go up, some instructor saying, okay, it's yours. But anyway, that was Caleb Booker talking about just hobbies that he enjoyed. So I just want to encourage everybody. We have made, I guess it's been about 11 shows now. So I want to encourage everybody to go back and listen to these different shows. I mean, it's really, really, really informative. Now, I understand that we're very busy. A lot of y'all have lives. You have all types of things going on. I understand that. So this is to those that get the time and that is interested in knowing just something about your fellow cousin, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, mothers, fathers, okay? Very serious, serious, serious thing we're doing here. And I just want to thank y'all for supporting us. I'm still waiting for more family members to come. Let's just see here. Yeah, I'm still waiting for several family members to come. So if anybody have any, while we're waiting, anybody have any news or anything that's going on this week that you would like to advertise or to share with everybody, let us know. Press 1 if you're on the phone line. Let us know by pressing 1 if you're on the phone line or if you're in the chat room. Just simply send us a message, okay? And remember, if you are in the chat room and you do not have a screen name, you won't be able to chat. You'll just be able to just observe other people chatting, writing each other in the chat room. You have got to register with Blog Talk Radio, which all they're going to ask you is something as simple as your email address. I believe that's one of the questions. And then they'll ask you something like, what's your screen name? What do you want your screen name to be? And you just make up anything. You don't have to use your real name. And then you can start chatting. It's very, very important because we're getting a lot of people that come to the chat room, but you're not really chatting. You're not saying anything because you can't as a guest. It just shows your name as a guest. So we always get a lot of guests, but no actual screen names because people don't register. So, again, family, I appreciate y'all listening. I know you're out there. I know you're listening because we get a lot of hits or listens in the archive. So I would like to get questions on the chat room. I want to get the chat room going. That's the subject today, the chat room, getting y'all asking questions, talking forth back to each other. Again, what you have to do is go to Blog Talk, give them any old screen name you can think of, give them your email address, and they'll be to allow you to chat. If you're on the phone lines, it's a lot simpler. You just simply press 1, and I'll see your hand, and we'll get your question answered, okay? Other thing I wanted to say is we have been getting a lot of information, not a lot. We've been getting some information about what's happening around the family, but I'm not really happy with that. I really think we can do probably 10 times more than what we've been doing, and we need to do 10 times more. I know that there's a lot going on. I know that there's families. I know that there's birthdays. I know that there's anniversaries. I know that there's important meetings that the family might have sometime. I know that there's just different things going around. And what I'm encouraging you to do, listener, you listening to me right now, I want you to take it upon yourself. If you really want to see this thing succeed, is tell somebody about the show and let them know. You don't have to listen every week. I don't expect anybody to listen to this show every week because I would think you would have things to do just like I do, and this is why one of the reasons why I'm looking for people to host the show sometime where I can take a break. And then even when I'm not hosting, I probably will still listen, but I just don't want it to be my show. I really never aspired to just be a radio talk show host. I know some of y'all think that. I did it a little bit in Cincinnati as a co-host, as a guest appearance from time to time. But it's not what I'm all about, okay? I'm trying to do this show so different people can jump in and do this, and we can just interview every single person in the family, and eventually we'll all have audios out there about what we're doing, what we aspire to do, what we've done in the past. Or maybe we don't want to talk about what we've done at all. We just want to talk about the future of our children or whatever. You don't have to share anything about yourself if you don't want to. If you want, other than it can be something about, because I know a lot of people is not really happy about where they're at in life. I'm not crazy. And I don't want that to be a deterrent on whether or not you come on the show, your family, and wherever you're at. We know how temporary things are. A lot of these jobs are just stepping stones anyway. And I don't want that to block us from having this show, okay? So family members, again, those of you that are listening to the show and you're on the phone lines right now, if you do decide to bear with me here, somebody trying to. Okay. Those of you that listen to this show from time to time, again, I'm just reminding you, please, when it's your time to come on the show, don't fear this mic. It's nothing to it. We just want to know a little bit about you. I mean, surely you've done some great things in your life. Surely everybody has done great things they're proud of. It can be awards. And that's all you got to talk about, what you've done good. We don't want to hear about your failures. This show has number one rule. We only have one rule at this Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network, and that rule is to keep it positive and upbeat. We only want to know the productive things you've done in your life, simple and plain. And that means everybody have done it. You don't have to tell us where you work. You don't have to tell us what you do. Okay, just come on the show. Let us know how you relate it. Or if you're a friend of the family, that's fine, too. Let us know how you're a friend of the family. And we'll just go from there. It's just that simple. We got to make this thing happen. Again, a lot of y'all are listening when the show goes off, and I appreciate that. but it would be nice when the show is on to help make the show if you will contribute more. That's what I'm looking forward to. And I know y'all are busy. I know y'all are working. It's a very busy family, very large family, a lot of people working, but we need more news and information as to what's going on. Speaking of news and information, I'll go ahead and start. I think we want to start calling this segment of the show News Around the Family. News Around the Family. That's the name I think will fit best what we're trying to do here. This segment will be called, again, News Around the Family. Just to let everybody know, Brianna, which is Donna's granddaughter, which is Taurus's daughter, is involved in a national championship cheerleading competition at the Dallas, Texas Convention Center. And I hear the next step they're going to, the next thing they're going to be doing is having this similar national competition at the Cowboy Stadium. Again, news around the family. This is Donna's granddaughter. Y'all know who Donna is. Donna is the daughter of my mother, Irene Booker Rhymes. That's my sister. So Brianna is doing her thing. They've won state. They actually won state. They was have the top cheerleading squad in the state of Texas, went down to Houston and brought home the gold. And now they're competing for nationals at the Dallas, Texas Convention Center. And also, like I said, there is going to be a venue in the future at the Cowboy Stadium. I will keep y'all posted on that. That's Brianna. Okay, we had a birthday over the weekend. And that was the Miss Gianna. Again, this is Donna's granddaughter. Just so happened, it ain't always about Donna. No, please don't think that. Y'all got to understand that's my sister, and I'm just closer to this side of the family, just like you're closer to that side of the family. But we're trying to change all that. That's why y'all got to call and let me know what's happening on the north side, on the east side, on the south side, on the west side. You got to call in, let us know. Send me email, text us, whatever, on Facebook. Let me know, so I can advertise these things, because we are wanting to know these things. We want to support our cousin. We may not always be able to come to these events, but at least on this little show we have once a week, we can advertise. So just so y'all know, Gianna, which is Tasha's daughter, had a wonderful, she just turned 15 and invited her friends over. I really had a good time. I don't always enjoy parties. I'm not a party person. But I really enjoyed that, good, clean, fun, bunch of young people. It's been a while since I've been around a bunch of 14 and 15-year-old kids, but that was really, really nice, and thank you, Tasha, for putting that together, okay? Tonight, before I speak about any more news around the family, I failed to mention the spotlighted person, and that's because I've got so many other things in my mind. But definitely an important show, and I'm not just saying that, but tonight we will spotlight the late Monroe Howard. Who is Monroe Howard? Monroe Howard is a vital part in his family, lots of history around Monroe Howard. He is, and we can say it like this, with him and Naomi, Aunt Naomi to me, Naomi Booker, they produced Linda Booker and the late Tina Booker. And so, and as y'all know, Linda have children and Tina has children as well. And so this is a big family. They're all over. And it all started with Naomi Booker and Monroe Howard. And we're going to interview tonight Monroe Howard by way of interviewing his brother, Amos Howard, which is my father, with Amos Howard and Irene Booker Rhymes. I was produced. At the time, she was Irene Booker. And, of course, she met Amos Howard, and that's how I was produced. So just so y'all know, my biological father definitely will be on tonight talking about his brother, the late Monroe Howard. Okay, lots of history. Anytime Amos Howard comes on the show, he definitely has a lot to say. As you know, we interviewed him about 2 weeks ago, and he just went just constantly bringing up history we had forgot about or never heard about. So I always look forward to a conversation with him. He always got a whole lot to share. So tonight, the spotlight is not on Amos. It's on Monroe, and he'll be calling later on tonight to, if he's not already listening now, but we'll chime him in at 10 o'clock on the hour with regards to Monroe Howard. So that's going to be our spotlighted person of the week. All right? Monroe Howard, 10 o'clock sharp. Until then, we will continue talking about news around the family. Then we'll talk briefly about health, talk briefly about business, and then it'll be time for, should be about 10 o'clock at that point. So more news around the family. I wanted to just remind everybody that this summer, for sure, we're going to have the summer event that we always have. Don't like the word picnic, but we are going to be probably going back down to the large park that we always get. Can't think of the name right now. Cannot think of that name, but we'll keep you posted about that. But for sure, everybody keep asking, are we going to have a thing this summer? Are we going to have a thing this summer? Yes, we are going to have a thing this summer where we all get together, play volleyball, swim, eat, listen to good, clean music. Kids play on the water slide. They even have some rides at this park. So that is going down this summer. So I just want to let everybody know that that is good news. The more times we get together, the better things are. I just like us being less strangers. I think the family's getting big and people becoming strangers to each other. And y'all know what happened when we don't know each other that well. The enemy starts speaking and lying, talking about this person may not like you and this person. And that sibling rivalry gets just stirred up, and we don't want that. So anyway, But folks, if you can, please get a hold of Donna and find out about this whole event that they have at the Cowboy Stadium. We want to go and support Brianna. I went to my first cheerleading competition the other day, I guess about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I was amazed. I didn't think I would like it at all, but I just went to support Brianna, and I was amazed at how much I liked that. I mean, you know, it was really a competitive sport type of thing, you know. You don't think it is, but it really is. It's a very competitive type of event, just like a football game. And, of course, it's a lot of screaming. But, I mean, these girls, I mean, doing backward flips, they got to be in sync with each other. I mean, it is amazing. Yeah, I'm telling y'all, it really was something, okay? So I'll let Donna brief y'all on that. There was one other thing I had. Let's just do this. Let me go ahead and just play a little bit of Stevie Wonder's contribute to those with birthdays. His we'll do this little special song for all of those out there, just so y'all know. Some of y'all I forgot, and it's because you're not calling me like I asked Fanny to do. We gotta do better. Y'all got to really let me know. I mean, because I got a few people calling me after the show, and forgive me, I'll forget who they were. But I just want to just play this for everybody that had a birthday this week, and that's even having one next week, okay? That's one reason we had this show, because we want to let all your little kiddos know, and even your teenagers and some of y'all older folks. Again, we just want to let y'all know we really, really want everybody to know it's your birthday. And so here's Stevie Wonder, and we'll just play a little bit of this so we can talk about some other things, and then we'll be right back. Okay, and we'll let that play in the background, but we really, really I'm grateful to even see birthdays and especially when they're yours. So we appreciate that. Want to go ahead and talk about something. Actually, let me play this little clip. This is just a reminder of, let's see here. Should I? I've got so many things I want to share here. I don't want to. Let's just play this real quick. For commercials, I want y'all to check out. This is some serious things that you need to know. First one is going to be talking about iodine. I shared this with y'all last week, or well, week before last, and I don't want y'all to forget this website and these people. They're very good. Iodine is very important for the body. Check this out, family. We'll be right back.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity, and it's safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Take them, please make a note of that. This is the website. It won't rip you off. You can get some good health products, and we all need it. Good people, check that out. All right. Also, I, you know, there's a lot going on. I'm going to share a little bit some tips, some things going on with our country, and that is definitely related to this family. And what I'm going to share a clip. I actually started doing this last week. I think it was last week. We listened to the Stanberry Report, and I'm going to play clip number 2, the Stanberry Report. Now, I'm going to let y'all know this right off the bat. This thing is about 10 minutes long. Let me just make sure, because I want y'all to just know that it is a little lengthy, but this information, these researchers, these economic professionals, experts, is sharing with the world, not just us, not just, you know, with their little clients that they help, because they normally companies hire these people to let them know the forecast on different economic issues. I thought it'd be a good idea to share what they talk about with y'all. I mean, it's not really over your head. It's not something that's just really deep. You just can't get it. It's not like that. I promise you. It's if
you just listen and don't be distracted by nothing and really listen. This can help you with understanding on what exactly is going on. What are these economists, what are they talking about when they keep talking about the economy is going to fall? And how does that relate to you, a family member? How does that relate to your children? What should you do about it? How does it relate to you, your bills, your pocketbook, your children, your spouse? You know, it's very, very, very serious information. I just couldn't believe how well they broke all this down as far as what's going to be, what's on the horizon for the United States. And I know sometimes it's black people. Yeah, I'm going to say that. Because it's mainly us that we don't really, when we hear the word economics, everybody just get, you know, they just start looking funny. They just don't, we don't have an economic mind. A lot of our children don't major in economics in school. We just don't do well with anything that has to do with money. And I'm not saying I'm some great expert because I'm far, far, far behind on that. But I like the Stansberry Group. I like how they are sharing with the public everyday simple things we can do as a family to get ready for what is about to come down this, you know, to the United States. And, you know, I look at it like the whole hurricane, thing that happened with the people in New Orleans. They was warned over and over and over again, and for whatever reason, they just didn't heed the warning. We are no different. We been warned about this tsunami, if you will, speaking of our economics, what's about to happen in this country. We've been warned about the dollar. We've been warned about the value of falling. And some of y'all saying, what's this got to do with me? Well, they talk about different things that's going to happen, like a lot of a rush on groceries, a rush on gas, and there may be a time you might need to own weapons because people with this robbery is going to go through the roof. People can't eat and can't get the necessary foods they need because, you know, everybody panicked and ran to Kroger's and bought up everything. Then you'll see why I'm playing this video, this audio. It's very, very important, people. I mean, I can't stress enough. It's very, very important what the Stansberry Group is doing. So I want to take the time out right now and for my family, present these people that have been a blessing to me and that have shared with me and helped me do practical, everyday things to kind of arm myself with what is about to happen in our country, in this country. All right? So check this out, and I want y'all to just make notes, and don't flip out on me. Please don't say, oh, this is over our heads. Why are you sharing this stuff? It is not all that. It really ain't. Some of y'all could use something other than these little YouTube videos you listen to and all this Facebooking. So this is just something really simple, really easy to comprehend. And while I'm talking about Stansberry Group, please get your notes out and just and your recorders and let's see here. Somebody's trying to call me. Let's go and get the Stansberry Group going, and then we'll worry about people trying to call me while I'm on the show. I don't know why people do that. Here's the Stansberry Group, okay? Check this out. And if you want to look them up on the internet, they're called the Stansberry Research Group. And actually, let's do this. I actually want to play the data dollar diet. I know I'm jumping on y'all, but the data dollar diet is actually shorter, and it will give y'all, I know I sound mixed-minded here, but I just happened to see the data dollar diet. This is a much shorter video, much more to the point. And I don't think I want to do that because y'all probably is not in the mood for this long clip. Let's see here. Well, if we can get that to go, we might need to listen to the Stansberry Group. I'm trying to chew up this video. Bear with me, family. Y'all got to be patient. You know, that's one of the things we as believers are supposed to be able to have is patience. So let's be patient. But I so want y'all to hear this. Here we go, the data dollar diet. This is a real, real scenario of what's going to happen with the day the dollar dies. And then you can understand better what the Stansberry Group of Research is talking about. Again, the day the dollar diet is the name of this video. This is the second video I'm talking about right now. Now, This has nothing to do with the Stanberry Group. This is some economists, very smart people, that put this together to warn the people of what's going to happen in the near future. This is more to the point. It's a little bit scary, but check this out. It's only 7 minutes versus the Stanberry Group. Their video is a lot longer. So check this out. Y'all may like this better because it's a little shorter. Check it out. Please, the day the dollar died. It's coming up whenever you want to. Here we go.
The following is a fictional story of events that may happen in the near future. 8 a.m., New York Stock Exchange. It's a cold, breezy day on Wall Street as markets await the Federal Reserve's announcement for QE4. Futures are up significantly. The Dow Jones just breached its 2008 high of 14,164. Gold just hit an all-time high of 2,900. Silver just breached $100 per ounce. The dollar index is holding at 53. With official unemployment at 16.3%, there is a nervous feeling on Wall Street that if this doesn't work, the world could implode into a depression that will last for the remainder of the decade. 8:19 a.m., Beijing. Chinese officials announced that they can no longer allow Washington to devalue their holdings. After making their concerns private, China accepts that Washington will never stop paying its debt with inflated currency. China makes an official statement from Beijing, quote, "We have made our concerns known privately for some time. With QE4 about to be announced today, China will have no choice but to stop purchasing U.S. treasuries. We have allowed Washington to try to work through their imbalances for 4 years. But with global inflation and U.S. consumers rapidly shrinking as a percentage of global GDP, we feel that a Western recovery is unlikely until they reform their entitlement programs." 8:45 a.m., New York Stock Exchange. Upon hearing the statement from China, Dow futures have a sharp reversal and begin to drop. Gold leaps past $3,000 per ounce, up $150 per ounce in the last 26 minutes. CNBC awaits a statement from the White House. 8:50 a.m., Washington, D.C. The president makes an official statement to calm investors' fears. He tells Americans that he has spoken with several G20 leaders. They have assured him that they will continue to increase their purchase of treasuries and believe that a strong U.S. economy is the only thing that will bring back global prosperity. He has also spoken to Chairman Bernanke, who assures him that a strong dollar will be the result of QE4. The president also reminds Americans that his recent New Deal recovery programs that he passed through executive order will increase the likelihood of a lasting recovery. He also notes that Beijing, since 2009, has slowly been reducing their holdings, so the impact will be minimal. 9:51 a.m., New York. Dow futures fall 850 points in the first 20 minutes of trading. Markets are halted for 1 hour by the authorities. 10 a.m., Main Street, America. The news about the stock market in China has now spread. A panic begins to set in, and unprepared Americans rush to the grocery store. In an attempt to purchase food and water, Americans that didn't know what was going on are alerted by all of the news stories and panic buying. Within 50 minutes, there is a nationwide rush to the stores. Empty store shelves in America become a reality. 10:52 a.m., New York. Markets reopen and the Dow Jones resumes its collapse. Investors around the world join the sell-off in bonds and stocks and begin to purchase commodities. Unlike the panic of 2008, this time commodities are seen as the only safe haven from a dollar crisis. 11:30 a.m., New York. The Dow falls 1,700 points since reopening. Trading is halted for at least 2 hours. The Federal Reserve injects $200 billion into the market and announces that QE4 will be delayed until further notice. Congress is called back to D.C. for an emergency joint session. Some members of Congress are saying that they consider China's statement a financial attack. 12 p.m., Main Street, America. Several cities begin to see civil unrest after grocery stores are forced to close. Traffic in the streets and violence break out. The president puts the National Guard on alert for a possible deployment onto U.S. streets if things don't get under control soon. Several news agencies are reporting injuries at grocery chains and call for the authorities to do something before it gets worse. 12:15 p.m., Toronto, Canada. George Soros tells CNBC that a run on treasuries is imminent and that there is nothing the government can do to stop it. He says it is unfortunate that a controlled decline of the dollar was not coordinated better over the years. Today really could have been avoided if not for the Tea Party politicians who demanded fiscal responsibility and a constitutional government. 3 p.m. Gold closes at $11.53 for the day at $4,053 per ounce. Silver closes at $173 per ounce. The president announces that due to civil unrest in some areas of the country, U.S. stock markets will remain closed for the rest of the day. With the exception of mining and other inflation-related stocks, the majority of U.S. stocks are down significantly due to the sell-off and flight to safety in commodities. The Federal Reserve announces that it will begin to purchase U.S. treasuries and stocks in order to stabilize the market. But this only feeds investors' fears of a full-blown treasury run and collapse of the dollar. 6 p.m. Asia. Asian markets begin a massive sell-off. Dollar collapse rumors begin to take hold of the market. CNBC Asia looks into a possible COMEX default and complete breakdown in the U.S. economy. Gold spikes in Asia, up $17.50 in the first complete hour of trading. Gold is now at $58.03. 7 p.m., gold and silver bullion dealers across the world have suspended all sales due to no inventory. A COMEX default is now expected. Several central bank representatives propose a freeze on currency markets and a fixed devaluation of the U.S. dollar in order to calm investors. 7:30 p.m., the United States. The sun sets on America. In the last 12 hours, the world has changed. Americans are glued to their televisions, taking a crash course on a debauched currency. Smoke from fires in the cities have put a dark cloud over the nation. 7:45, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve announces it will inject $1.5 trillion into the market in order to stop any further decline in stocks. 7:55 p.m., OPEC. The final nail in the coffin. OPEC nations halt oil trades in U.S. dollars until further notice. They will only accept euros, renminbi, or gold. 7:59 p.m., the Federal Reserve's announcement to inject $1.5 trillion into the markets causes a sharp reversal in overseas markets. Stocks begin to rally even as Main Street melts down. 8 p.m., Manhattan. Gerard Adams, president of the National Inflation Association, sends out an urgent email alert. In it, he informs members that it is with great sadness that the time to warn and prepare Americans for hyperinflation has ended.
Other than the little drum beats in there to try to scare everybody, I think that is an excellent, excellent factual video. What y'all may not know, excuse me, what you may not know is that a lot of economists and preachers, ministers, laymen, all types of people in the church agrees with what was just said. These were economists that got together, produced this audio to give us a scenario of how this will go down when they was talking about the Federal Reserve injecting money into the economy. This is exactly what they do. And a lot of y'all are more savvy at this than a lot of us. But that was just a little tiny bit of what could happen and what already, folks, to be very frank, which is already happening. And so that's why it is very important we know the signs when to, you know, there's other videos, audios I'm not going to play today, but in the future I'm going to play for the family talking about different things you need to put away, save, you know, you need to be able to live. Basically, I think the amount of time is 6 months without going to the grocery store. Of, you know, little things like you have to have a lot of water stored. And I know a lot of y'all flipping out, you saying, you know, it ain't your cup of tea and you don't want to be pessimistic and blah, blah, blah. But I'm telling y'all, I would not lie to y'all. I'm one of those, I believe in the future. I believe in the Most High taking care of his children. But I think we're facing a type of Hurricane Katrina all over again, but on a larger scale. And I think we're being warned by the audios just like that. Now, that's just a little sample, almost Hollywood, if you will. But that is very factual. But, I mean, all the, you know, the drama and all that. But there are some people that will sit down with you for an hour, and that's what the Stansberry Group, I was going to play that audio first. They have a 14-minute audio clip in like five parts. And I want y'all to hear a more simple, laid out, I mean, where you can really see what is happening. And that's what I was going to do. And I'm still thinking about doing it, but we got so many other things to talk about. It's the only reason why I'm not 100% sure I want to do that right now. But anyway, family, listen, we got to come together other than just to talk about birthdays, anniversaries, things like that. I mean, that's important. That's mainly why I did this show, so we can, you know, celebrate each other's accomplishments and different things. But listen, you better be networking with somebody. The Most High have been speaking very loud, very clear, a lot as far as what is about to happen in this United States. And he loves us. And no father is going to do anything to his kids without giving them a warning. No father is going to sit up and watch a tornado coming and just not warn his children. So the Most High is simply warning us over and over and over again through the economists. These are economists that's normally upbeat, positive. They've never been the ones to try to scare people. These are some very respected people all across the country, all across the world. I'm not just talking about people, Americans. I'm talking about Chinese. I'm talking about Japanese. I'm talking about African economists. I'm talking about economists all throughout Europe. Everybody is saying the exact same thing, that the United States currency is going to be devalued very shortly, and that's going to cause a ripple effect that's going to actually affect you and gas and oil and groceries and water and sanitation. All these things can be interrupted briefly. That's why they're saying 6 months. I'm sorry, not 6 months. Bear with me. 3 months. They're saying 3 months. You should have enough supplies if anything go down to where you don't have to come outside your house for three whole months. And that might mean for some of us to bear arms, because people are not stupid. If they're starving next door and they know that you got food, they know that you got water, and they know that you're surviving and can survive for 3 months or more, who's to say they won't try to rob you? So it's a lot of robbing is going on. He didn't go into that because the video wasn't designed to do that. But I'm telling y'all, there's a lot about to happen. And it ain't just me saying it. Millions, probably millions of people saying this. I'm talking about folks that's normally upbeat, positive, and that have a lot of faith. They're saying it. They're saying it. They're saying it. They're saying it. So I'm just want to be the one to warn my family, you know, not that y'all need me to tell you anything, because some of y'all know this better than I do, and you can break it down better than I can. But I'm just reminding everybody, don't forget about the falling economy, the devaluing of the dollar, and possible war on American soil. That's a whole other conversation. I normally deal with this on my shows that I deal with on Blog Talk at other times. But anyway, let's move on, folks. I just had to get that out. And speaking of that, let me just play this little short clip about your money. So some people say, okay, well, what do we do if this thing does happen? Some people actually would say that to me. What if you're right? I mean, what if everything you said is right? What do we do with our money? What's a good place to put your money? If the dollar's going to fall, where should we put our dollar? Don't leave us hanging, Seth. Some people actually are saying that. What do we do? What do we do with our money? If the dollar's going to fall, what do we do? Now, somebody has a question, comment here. Hold on 1 second. Okay, never mind. I know who that is. I think that's our guest that we're going to have on tonight. So, but let me just say this to everybody. Please, folks, I just can't express this enough. Go to YouTube, type in Stansberry Research, and listen to them break it down as far as what is going to happen very soon. A lot of people saying 2012. A lot of people saying 2012. I don't hear 2013, I hear 2012. So whatever is going to happen is going to happen quickly. And I don't know if election is going to play a part in this. I have no idea. But that is what's happening. And before the guests come on, I just want to briefly, my computer is acting up. It's wanting to freeze on me, which is dumb. So let me do this real quick. Let's see here.
I'll play that a little later on, but I want to go ahead and open up the phone lines and bear with me here, folks, please. I tell you what, you know, computers, they got their good points, but they also can be a headache. Technology can be a headache. What's happening is I got the guests on hold. I'm trying to take them off hold, and my computer is frozen, so just bear with me. I think this is Amos on the line here. So, again, folks, I just want to thank everybody for, while we're waiting for this to come up, I want to thank everybody for supporting us. I really mean that. The archives, y'all just, I guess a lot of people just don't like Sunday nights because we don't get a lot of, I mean, we get people listening, but I would like to see a lot more people listening. And, I guess I want to know if Sunday night is just not the night. Maybe we need to look at doing it for just the night because we don't get as many people as I like to see participating on Sunday. But you do go to the archive. So I'm thinking of moving the show to Monday. The whole purpose of doing it on Sunday anyway is just to compete with Monday Night Football. I think it's the men in the family. I know there's a lot of football lovers would definitely be interested in football, and so I said I wasn't going to have a show that's going to be on Monday night because I know what that means. But it might mean that we need to do just that, move this to Monday night since Monday Night Football is no longer, they're not having it right now, because I really want to get y'all involved doing the live show and not just listening when the show is off. So let me know. Give me some feedback on it. What do y'all think? Sunday night or Monday night? Sunday night or Monday night? Or maybe even Tuesday night? Let me know. Please let me know what y'all think, okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and finally got my computer up here. I just simply rebooted it, and it's coming back up here. So we'll go ahead and bring on Amos here. But please, before I forget, please. What is this? Okay. All right, never mind. Please, family, let's get involved. Let's make this show a success. I mean, it is to me already doing very well for a brand new show. This is a very different concept. I've heard a lot. I've gotten lots of compliments on just the whole idea of having this show for a family. We have listeners. I think we got somebody even in the chat room right now that's not really related to the family, but that's just like what we're doing. And I see you there. Who is that? Real Judah. We got people that don't even, again, that listens from week to week in the chat room that's not even part. I mean, these people live outside of Fort Worth, outside of Dallas. They may live in Detroit. They may live in Miami. And they listen to this, to the Booker Douglas Family and Friends Network, because they think it's a neat idea. So if they can listen, surely some of y'all can listen. But I know y'all busy, so I'm not going to dog you out. I know you're trying. I know some of y'all have a lot on your plate. I understand that. So please know I do know that. Okay? So anyway, let's see. Can we go ahead and take our guest off hold and bring him on in? Because I know he got a lot to share. Area code 682. Come on, computer. Boy, I tell you, this thing is just too slow. Hold on 1 second. Amos, give me a second here. And again, we're interviewing Monroe Howard by way of interviewing his brother, Amos Howard. And as y'all know, Amos was on a couple of weeks ago. Go back and listen to his show. He really has a lot to say. If you want to hear a lot of history about how things were back in the 60s and 70s and so forth, listen to Amos give you a serious account of that. But anyway, Amos, finally I got my computer running. Go ahead, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine. How's everybody doing?
Oh, you're doing okay.
Well, that's good.
I mean, I'm sorry. We're doing okay. Let me tell you, so do me a favor and turn your phone. Remember, speak to the back of the phone. It takes the static and the bass in the voice. So flip your phone
okay,
over.
Okay, let me try to turn the volume up and see if it'll work. Most of the time it doesn't, but I'm going to try.
No, we hear you loud. You're actually louder than you should be.
It's just not clear?
It's clear. Turn the volume down a little bit, and again, talk to the back of the phone. Talk
flip it around where the mic is facing your hand and your mouth is you're speaking literally to the back of the phone. I'm telling you that works.
Well, I got to get schooled on that.
It works like an expensive mic. I'm telling you.
I hear you.
But listen,
okay, is that somewhat better as it is right now?
Yeah, that is. Just like I say, turn the volume down just a little bit. But anyway, welcome to the show again. As I said, mentioned earlier, Amos was on the show 2 weeks ago and spoke real well about his, that was his, he was in the spotlight actually, letting us know about history. So I'm really looking forward to the show tonight about Monroe, which is your brother. And just so everybody know, well, how does Monroe, because some young people might be listening and they may not know exactly who Monroe is. Monroe Howard and Naomi Booker is how Linda Booker and the late Tina Booker was produced. And Monroe is Amos's brother. And so Amos and my mother, Irene Booker, Rhymes, as some of y'all know her as, is how I came into the picture. So Monroe would be my uncle. And Amos, of course, you know, like I said, Amos and Irene is how I was produced. So Linda is actually related to me twice. So we had, back in the day, my mother and Aunt Naomi dated two guys of the same family, two brothers. So kind of interesting. But Amos, go ahead and just kind of just jump in. I'm going to let you just share as much as you want to. What do you think of when you think of Monroe? And everybody, just so y'all know, we were supposed to have Linda on. We did invite her to come on. And she wasn't able to make it. So we have Amos. And I'm sure with that being his brother for as many years as he was, he is more than able to let us know exactly things about the late Monroe Howard, how he relates to the Caleb and Asley Booker's family. So please, Amos, jump in as much as whenever you want and let us know whatever's on your mind. I'm going to try not to ask as many questions. I think sometimes I like to listen to where people want to take stories without me. But go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for that. Well, actually, from time to time, you can ask questions because, you know, originally Linda had said that she would do this along with me. So I kind of had it geared as to where she would ask me questions. And, you know, I was geared to answer her questions. And I guess the question that she would ask, if you can maybe think of and ask me, I'd be glad to answer in that order. But actually, as far as some history with Monroe, because we go back to 53 here. Monroe came to Fort Worth in 1953, of course, and I was in the service at that time. So I got out of the Army 2 years later, and I came to Fort Worth. Okay, there, of course, Monroe introduced me to the Booker family. That was about the first family that I met, along with the Hills and the Douglases and the Mallards. Those were the families that I met initially. And due to the fact that we, you know, went to Wesley Chapel together, Monroe went to Wesley Chapel, and he's known for singing in the choir and the male chorus, and he became known much more than I. Due to the fact that I was kind of laid back, you know, and didn't initially talk a whole lot, at least that's the way people perceive me. And Monroe, he, you know, taught me the ropes. He taught me the do's and the don'ts and what to say and what not to say, especially related to the north side and then the entire city as far as that was concerned. Now, he was, like I said, a very outgoing, talkative, fun-loving person. And he was well-known and admired by many. But he was mostly known early on for his participation in Wesley Chapel and singing. And even today, people ask me about him and tell me about how they miss him and everything. So early on, I was actually known as Monroe's brother. Now, although I was the oldest, but I was a new kid on the block, so to speak. And from time to time, different one would kind of tease Monroe and about how loud and boisterous he was, you know. And they asked him, how come you're so loud and your brother Amos, he's just quiet and nice and quiet, you know. Not that I really was. Now, I'm not trying to say that I was, but at least that's the way that I was perceived. So, you know, I saw it kind of working a little bit in my favor, so I kind of hung with it a little while, and it actually stuck with me, you know. And
I don't think Monroe took that too well, because before long, I noticed he was going out from place to place, but he wasn't taking me with him as he was initially. And
oh,
I know
really?
It wasn't the fact that he didn't love me or anything like that, but I just felt that he was more comfortable going out himself and just being with his homies, you know, instead of me. Not that I was going to object, but I was just, you know, some things I didn't see the way he did. And, of course, that kind of took his toll. You know, but anyway, by us going to the same church, that's us and the Bookers, Naomi, Irene, and the younger sisters, I became to well, the natural thing that I would meet Irene, because Monroe was Naomi's friend. And I was going to Wesley Chapel, and Monroe was an outgoing, fun-loving guy. I'm his brother. So they actually looked at me as being, this, well, if Monroe's all of that, well, maybe I can't be too bad, you know. So I just kind of came in the middle like that. But like I said, I'm going to tell about Monroe. It's not about me. It's about him tonight. Now, is there any history of anybody want to know? Somehow you can get the question to me. I'll have to answer this such. Like I said, I was geared to be asked questions by Linda, basically. And for some reason, she didn't show up. I don't know what happened, you know. But one of the things about Monroe that a lot of people didn't know, and I think these are the kind of things that he would want to answer. Just like a week before last of my time, this being his time. Now, I know just about what he would answer and just about what he wouldn't answer. So feel free to ask me anything that you would have asked Monroe.
And you're doing, and, you know what, you, so far you're doing a very good job. I mean, I didn't know that history about how you being a quieter brother and him being more talkative.
Well, yeah. Basically, I really, you know, that's two sides to everything, you know. Now, some people know me just the opposite of the way I initially, you know, got known. But I tell you, I think it go back to my early childhood before I came to Fort Worth. I actually hear the old people say, you know, it's better to be seen, better be heard, seen than heard, you know. So I guess that kind of stuck with me somewhat too, you know. But I really was, and there are people that think that I could be just like Monroe, you know. But that part, the people didn't know, so I just kind of played it cool and kind of slid in on his coattail in a sense, you know.
Right,
anyway,
right. Now, both of y'all was both born in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, yeah, we both born in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh,
in communication and transportation and public speaking as well in school, and he did real well. And I was just the opposite. I was in the academics. I was in Interscholastic League, whereas different schools competed against one another, you know. And in 1949, I won first place in agriculture quiz. That was the area meet. Now, we had the local, the district, and the area meets where various schools would come together and we compete against one another. So that's the one I won, the area. The next one was the state. So that means a lot of schools, at least a dozen schools participating. And I came out first place. And if you had asked me what was one of my greatest feats in school, I would easily tell you, you know, being the best, the very best it was at that particular time in several, in many schools. So that's why I have that, you know, on my record. And for a while, you know, it was good. And I kind of, you know, played on it and bragged about it. And it was, everyone else did too. That was something about agriculture quiz, soil conservation, and all that kind of stuff. And I had to be good in the course to,
Let me ask you this. Now, Monroe had two kids by Aunt Naomi, or some people know her as Naomi Booker. He had two children by her, Tina and Linda. Do you recall a lot of dealings with? I know this is a dumb question, kind of, but for somebody that don't know, did know Tina. And don't know much about Linda, it's not a bad question at all. But those of us that know him, it's probably sound like a dumb question. But do you recall spending a lot of time with them and any experiences that kind of stick out with Tina or Linda? See, because tenants have children today, and I'm sure they have heard all the stories about their mom. I think it's Blake and Ashley and Miss Katina or Tina's children, and I'm sure they would appreciate anything. Remember, if they don't already know it, but I know if it was me, I would want to hear anything about my mom. You know, if she wasn't around, and I hope, hopefully, this show don't. One thing you got to be careful when you're talking about people that have passed is you don't want to.
Right.
Make it turn into something sad and gloomy. The show tonight, folks, is designed to talk about Monroe Howard, so much so that we all have a clear, crystal clear knowledge of his contribution. Now, Monroe wasn't perfect, no more than probably anybody that's on the show was. But this show is designed to focus on what he did that was good, encouraging, that we can glean strength from all of these people that we interview. Yeah, we can always talk about something somebody didn't do, procrastinations or faults they had. We can always go there. But I think people this day, Amos, need more encouragement, inspiration than ever before in the history of mankind. And that is the only reason why I thought to have this show. And I don't know what the Most High, I believe he inspired me to do it. And no telling what this show is going to end up doing in the future. So I'm just saying that's my immediate mentality of having it, as far as what I know, is one thing, but the Most High may have a whole other reason for it. But I saw a need for us to, because the family is so huge. I counted 100 people just on Caleb and Azalee Booker's tree. Now, if you start talking about the Douglases, start talking about your side of the family, it is a whole lot more. So, again, we have become strangers. And I think we need to change that. And this show, people will just get involved more. I know a lot of people listen. We had over 1,000 people to actually listen to these shows. But I'm talking about participation, like calling in more. We normally have a lot of call-ins, too. But I guess what I'm saying is I need to see this phone line light up. I want to see it max out because I know for a fact we have a very large family. While we may have a lot of people listening, and y'all should probably say, well, you should be satisfied. I know what the family's capable of. We got a lot of talent. We got a lot of singers. We got a lot of rappers. We got a lot of musicians. We got a lot of smart people that can talk about these economics and break it out even further that I kind of tried to do earlier. And I just want that. That's what I'm looking for. And so anyway, Amos, didn't mean to kind of go off there, but I just want people to know exactly what we're doing. All right? So anyway, Amos, let me ask you this. About Tina, let's go back to the late Tina Booker, who was deceased. This is we're talking about Monroe, who was deceased also, but and his daughter has deceased, Tina. And you was around when Tina was around and Monroe was around. So share a little bit about these two people that's no longer with us that some may find interesting.
Well, about Tina, of course, she's been gone quite a while now. But like I mentioned before, for some reason, early on, me and Tina would always talk, you know. And, you know, like I said, she was teasing about Irene and different things like that, you know. So she just, for some reason, like I say, of course, I love all of them, you know, equally. But, and I think Naomi seemed to think that I like Tina better than I did, you know, the rest of them, but. It really wasn't that. It's just that that's just the way it is. Some people you just have a better rapport with than others. It's like Lynn and I talked earlier, and she had agreed to come on the show, but like I say, I'm sure she had a reason as to why she didn't. But I kind of look at Naomi as being somewhat like I was. You know, like Irene, Bernamy, and all the rest of them, they was kind of what I would call outgoing more. And Naomi, I can consider her kind of like I was. She's kind of laid back. Now, she speak her mind on everything and then some, you know. So I don't know. I just hope she didn't, I hope Brother Tina, I mean Linda didn't talk to her before she came on air because otherwise she might have just got.
Let me just say this. I think what it is Linda normally keeps her word. When she says something, she do it. And I just feel like somebody came up that sometimes they can't tell you everything, all the details. I mean, it's just the way it is. But we'll have a show. Linda is actually going to be one of the persons I'm going to ask. I mean, really, I'm going to ask her to come on and do her own show. Just
yeah,
like you
yeah that'll
on,
be a good thing.
Just like 2 weeks ago, when you was on, she's going to come on, and I'm going to have her do her own, like, the whole show, and I'm going to try to do the same for everybody over 50, then we'll go over 40, and then we'll go over 30, and then we'll go, just keep going like that. And that way we'll eventually aim to get every single person on the show. That's my goal. Now, if we do that, guess what happens, Amos? If we're able to do that, that means one thing. That means that everybody will have an hour of talking about what they are really about. So there's no reason. If somebody really say, I like to know, I like to know Seth more. Well, my mouth, they can hear me every single week. But let's say they want to know Dwight more. You know, it, excuse me, I don't know what it is. I'm just coughing a lot. But if they want to know more about Dwight, what they would do is just simply click on the show. Let's say they miss Dwight. Let's say something happened to Dwight. I'm not picking on Dwight. It can be anybody. Let's say you, something happened to you. And they always got you on twice, actually. You're on talking about yourself, and you're on talking about Monroe. This way, right, everybody hear from your mouth. No, Amos not from. He's from Pittsburgh, Texas. He said, I heard him say on the show. No, Amos, this is what Amos really was trying to do back in the 60s, because he said he's heavily involved in politics. And no, Amos' daddy was like this. No, I heard him. See, they have it from your mouth. Blog Talk has this thing where they'll leave this archive like this forever. So a year from now, 2 years from now, if somebody wants to listen to you, listen to your show you did 2 weeks ago, they can hear it. So having said that, hopefully that gives us a little clarity as to why we do this show. Now, Monroe,
oh, yeah,
I want you to mention something about Monroe and that you remember. Do you remember any experiences with Monroe and Asley or Monroe and Caleb Senior?
Well, one thing I remember vividly about was Caleb. I know he and Monroe was close. One thing, I think Monroe drove his car, and anybody drive his car, from what I understand, you got to be pretty much in good standing with him. And based on how I was received, Monroe had to make him pack on this. And I don't know a whole lot about Miss Booker. She was just, you know, this ordinary. I think she, to my own thinking, she probably liked me, you know. But I can't say, well, and Mr. Caleb, like I said, he never said nothing bad to me. He just was, like I said, he was a disciplinarian, and he just let you know where he stood and blah, blah, blah. But Monroe could more or less, like, have his way. And Monroe could do things that I couldn't do as far as he's concerned. Monroe kept his car, and Monroe was a mechanical. He used to work on cars, and see, I wasn't very good at working on cars. So Monroe actually started driving before I did, although I'm older than he is, you know. He just is something about him and cars, and as you know, everybody know Monroe, know he liked to drive big cars, and he was always did have one way or another. And he would brag, you know, he would race along like, you know, like the Douglas did, you know, E.C. and Joe Boy, Eddie Arthur, Junior.
That's one
know,
of the things I remember. That's one of the things I remember is his. I don't know if I could say love, but I know he was always in a brand new car. That is one thing I remember, and I remember him being jolly. I remember him being always upbeat. I don't think I ever seen him down and out and sad. I do remember that. That's what I remember. You say, what do you remember, Seth, about Monroe? That's what I remember, and that's one reason I was looking forward to doing this show, because I really am, you know, curious, and I don't know that I'll always be curious about family members, and it's just something, and I've heard lots of people say, like I played this clip earlier from Tasha, a lot of people really do value what we're trying to accomplish here, Amos, a lot of people, so
yeah.
It ain't just us, a lot of people see the value in this, but you were saying that he kind of just had his way, not had his way, but he had favor with Caleb Booker, you felt.
Right.
And, okay, And he was in the choir. That's another thing I didn't know. I didn't know he sung. I should have known.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's most of what he's known by. Now, I sang in the male chorus, of course, too. But I didn't, not as much as he did. Not to the extent that he did. Also, my sister, we all did. And, Naomi, Irene, you know, we all was there. And Wesley Chapel is the catalyst to, I think, you know, our getting together. Because we were, you know, church oriented, and so was the Booker. Now we were going to the same church, the same kind of church and everything. So it just stuck with us, you know. Of course, after we went to another church, later on, and as the years passed, you know, we went to another church. And that took on another whole perspective. But Martin wasn't involved in that too much, so we almost keep him Martin orientated and not Amos orientated, you know. But speaking of him, now, everyone knows he, you know, he would just like to have fun. He liked to, you know, drink a little booze every once in a while. Of course, I guess we all did to some extent. But I didn't even do it enough for people to know that I did it at all because it wasn't no big thing to me, you know. But to him, that was kind of like his trademark early on. But, you know, we all changed a little later on, you know. And I didn't do a whole lot of...
What are you saying with his trademark?
Well, having fun and partying, and he liked to drink a lot, you know. Everybody know him. That's no secret. Everybody know him. Knew he liked to drink, you know, and have fun. Not that he mistreated nobody, but that's just kind of like his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And already the people know, at least they thought I was quiet and I did like that. I said, hey, this feel pretty good. So I just, you know, I just rolled that little thing here for a while.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Military in Monroe. I heard, you know.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to get to that one.
Monroe,
he went in the Army after about 5 or 6 years here. He went to Vietnam back in the day. And, as you all, well, I can't say as you all know because you probably don't know. Monroe got, was in a line. He got ambushed with a landmine. He got blown up. And that's how he lost his eye. And he used to tell a story about what he went through and what he was thinking during the time. He was hoping that they find, I mean, he was in such a bad shape. He said he hoped his people find him, you know, intact. Because he lost his eye completely. And when he come to himself, he just had his hand. He had his eye in his hand. What is it? That's kind of, well, you probably need to know that. But anyway, he had a hard time. He did get a bomb. Well, it was a landmine, which is the same as a small bomb in Vietnam back in the day. And he was sent to Fort Sam Houston to the recuperate down in San Antonio. So, of course, we all was upset about that and went down there and saw him. But due to the fact that he had a prayerful background, and he had been to church, and not only going to church, the church had to do something for him. And apparently, he did something for him because he told me about how many times he trusted God. You know, it's amazing everybody can become a Christian when they're in trouble. But then you got to, when it's going good with us, you know, we got to learn to do that as well. And he kind of had enough practice, so to speak, behind him, that it wasn't no big thing for him because he prayed and just like, you know, we did and like Irene did and like we used to do at the prayer of faith, you know. And over there, like I said, they took it to another level. And that's my remembrance of Prayer of Faith Temple is the kind of service they had. Of course, Wesley Chapel was good, but I was younger and kind of like inexperienced. But when we went there, everything just seemed to go to another level. And
let me ask you, hold on a second, Amos, because Prayer Faith, he didn't go to Prayer Faith, right? Monroe didn't go to Prayer Faith, right?
No, Monroe didn't.
Oh, okay.
I was just making an example as I went.
Yeah.
Monroe didn't.
Okay.
I went. And I guess the only reason I went, truthfully, because, you know, that's where Irene was going, and
right.
She told me that, and
let
I went over there visiting early on.
Amos, let me ask you this. To kind of keep the spotlight on Monroe, because I want to get as much about him as I can. What did he think of you and you kind of, what did he think of you venturing out to different faiths?
Monroe?
Yeah. You know, they got the whole...
Well, as long as it worked for me, he never object me doing anything or going anywhere. As long as it worked for me, it was all right with him, you know. So that's one thing. I never had no objection, not only Monroe, but anybody else, you know, because that was my choice and I was of age and everything. So he has, you know, gave me credit for knowing what I was doing.
You know, a lot of times it's a big deal when brothers
But this is one thing I could truthfully say. And I'm not making up nothing. I don't have to, and I wouldn't if I could. No, he never did object, you know, especially me being around y'all because he thought so much of you, for one thing. It's kind of unusual situation we had there. You know, usually it's always some turmoil, but the only problem we ever had, it had to be between me and Irene directly, or Monroe and Naomi directly. Beyond that, was no ill feeling one way or the other on either part. You know, I can truthfully say that.
Let me ask you this, kind of reflecting back on the whole, how can I say this? When you first came into the picture and, you know, I know you was dating Mama and Monroe was dating Naomi. Talk about your family and the Booker family for a second. Your parents, and how they took. Talk about that relationship between the family of your mother and maybe Aunt Naomi and Mama. Just kind of hit on that a little bit.
Well, actually, like I said, that wasn't a whole lot of interaction because, for one thing, like I say,
The reason why I brought that up is you was talking earlier when we was talking on the phone earlier. You had mentioned a lot of key things that Naomi did with your mom.
Let me get
on that a little bit.
Right. No, but how that came about, Naomi would come. She would always come visit Mother when Tina and Lena was younger. And Naomi would take it upon herself to come visit us. A lot of times she would walk over there, you know, walk the Angle Street from over down Ross. And I thought that was unusual. She'd bring the children with her, and she would always make sure that Mother knew exactly who they were and they knew exactly who Mother was. So it kind of like growed on a little bit, you know, and that was unusual for her to do that. That's why I say it's always two sides to everything. Although she, Naomi didn't approve a lot of things, she'd speak her piece about anything, but then yet and still, she was the one that went out of her way to come over there and make sure that Linda and Tina, in particular, had a good relationship with Mother and to know exactly who she was. And that lasted throughout. You know, she'd even leave them over there to stay with her momentarily. So it wasn't the church thing with Mother, and as far as Mother and Naomi's concerned. It was the fact that Naomi came over to, she was visited over there. She would call over there. And Mother was buying some. We was talking about the other day. Her mother would buy them little things, you know. And it's just the fact that she went out of her way to make sure about that. And as opposed to the others. Now, everybody knew everybody in June, but specifically with Naomi. That's why today we got a good relationship with, you know, with Linda and Naomi and all, because that is something she did, although a lot of things. And I don't ever try to see that. I always try to look at the bright side of everything. We can always, two people can be looking at one incident, and yet instead they give different reports.
And
the whole world is full of beauty if your eyes are full of love, and that's just the way that I saw things. You know, if it wasn't broke, I didn't try to fix it. So,
and
not
also
a lot of things.
I kind of also want to mention to everybody listening, and that will be listening in the future, that there is Roland. There is another member in this equation, and that is Roland. Can't forget about
right.
Mr. Roland Booker. Now, Roland is Aunt Naomi's youngest child, and he'd be he probably wouldn't care, but I don't want to miss him because Roland was, he played a serious part in the whole family structure with Tina and Linda. And so just want to let everybody know that the Roland came on a lot later. I don't know how what's the age difference, but I remember him coming on a little later. And so, but definitely there is three.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tina, Linda, and Roland. So all of this history with Monroe, there was a lot of interaction with Roland. Roland has done a lot for the family. He was many times
absolutely.
He was the man, one of the men in the house, and he helped raise everybody, you know, I'm sure contributed to Ashley's success and Katina's success and Blake's success and Alicia's success and Linda's daughters. This is the one big family, so I don't want to miss nobody. That's not what we trying to accomplish here, because Alicia, that Monroe was her granddaddy. And I remember at the funeral, those girls was really, you know, hurt or sad like everybody else was. And, I know that they had a close relationship with their granddad. So I just wanted to mention some other names. There were definitely other names. All of these people loved Monroe. And hopefully I didn't miss anybody. Y'all know I've been away for 19 years. I've just been back now 3.5 years. But I'm kind of, every once in a while I'll miss a name, but I think I got pretty much everybody, So just so we know, Amy Omi does have three children, and they have children, and all these people was definitely involved with Monroe. Now, Amos, real quick, what do you think Monroe's favorite song was? I always ask everybody that. What was Monroe's favorite song?
Wow.
Did you ever even notice?
Well, not really. If it does come to, it probably will sometime in this interview before I get through. And if so,
Let me know, because what I like
okay.
to do,
but
I always
I tell
like
you what,
to.
Let me do this. It's something I was going to say, somebody rolling. Okay. One thing, let me tell you about Monroe and this. I didn't even know. It was way on. By the time Roland came along, I didn't know, So I never know the difference. I didn't never know, what was what. Now, I saw Roland back when it was real 100-degree weather. He saw me downtown. And he said, hey, Uncle, where are you going in this heat? He was worried about me in the heat, And so he always had, wherever I saw him at. And I saw him one day, I think he was driving his truck on the south side. And on Hemp Hill, that's where it was. And it was the same thing. See, no difference was made. I can't tell you of a time that any time he's been in the equation that any difference whatsoever was made, And it's certain if he see me now, he called me Unc, and just like you would think he's blood kin to me, That was no different on that part, and I was going to mention that. The last time I saw Roland, he, like as always, he was worried about me being a hot sun. I was downtown on Throckmorton at the water company. And he's, you sure you're all right? Now he had what they said, you sure? And I said, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I was walking, and it was about 100 degrees, during the hot weather. So that was the last time, but that was other times that that we came in contact with one another, but it's always the same, Yeah. That's the unique thing about this, and I'm glad that I can say this, I really wouldn't manufacture something that's totally wrong.
Right.
See, I won't, dot all the I's and cross all the T's, but for the most part, I'm going to tell it like it is because ain't no need to do nothing. I thank God that I can, and everybody should be, it is but I do focus on the good.
Let me ask you this, Amos, because time is we kind of losing track. You're not losing track of time, but I'm losing no track of time.
I have to tell it like it is.
Amos, can you hear
that,
me?
That's what the input I have about Roland. You know, he's a number one with me, was then and now, you know.
So, Amos, can you hear me okay?
Beg pardon?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I'm trying to jump in, and I don't think you can hear me. So I'm going to ask that you turn your volume down just a little bit because I'll be, you know, trying to jump in here. And I'm only doing this because we're kind of crushed for time here. And I want to
turn it down, you say?
Just turn
down
my volume. You're not hearing me when I go to interject or kind of switch gears. I want us to stay on certain things a certain amount of time where we can get more in about Monroe.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah,
but
I can hear you. I got it up good. I can hear you now real good. So, yeah, you
okay.
Can continue to ask your question. I answer them, you know, the best that I can.
Okay. So let me do it like this. Let's do it like this. In about 2 minutes, share with me Monroe's relationship with how can I say this? I remember your mom, because I stayed with you for a little while, and I remember your mom being very nice. I'm not just saying that to be all, you know, how we got the one rule on the show, be positive. But she really was a nice lady. I mean, always to me. I mean, that's one thing I can say. I'd give her an A. Everybody I can say I've seen people when they screaming or yelling. I can say it about everybody I know, but I don't really have anything bad to say about your mom. That is honest to God truth. So how was their relationship, I mean, Monroe and your mom? Somebody may want to know that.
Monroe and mother?
Uh-huh.
It was a good relationship. The only thing, well, there's one thing, one drawback that, and one thing that mother didn't like, brother, about Monroe, and that's the fact that the alcohol, he would drink sometime, and, you know, not that he would ever disrespect her, but just, she just had a thing against drinking, you know, and that was just one of her pet peeves, you know, and that, every time he'd come home drunk, you know, she wouldn't like that, and she would, you know, let him know it. But other than that, everything was, you know, good, you know, it was in order. As far as I know, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
And
right, let me ask you.
But not only Monroe, but anytime anybody would come over there, they would automatically, now you can't be drinking, you know how Miss George is. And they would put their bottle up. And that's what all the friends I've had, you know, Nova, my sister as well. They know when they get there, if they've been drinking, you know, they always straighten up because that's one of the things she didn't like, you know. For whatever reason, she just had a thing against drinking. And but she didn't have that problem with me, but then Monroe kind of come home, you know, a little lit up sometime, and that was one of the few things she didn't like. But other than
let me ask you this. What so y'all went to school in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we did.
You didn't go to school in Fort Worth at all?
No, I didn't. No more than when I started working at General Dynamics, I went to sheet metal school. In assembly school, you know, I went there here. That's all.
Let me do this, Amos. Let me do this. I want you to just, for a second, I always like to give people a breather. And anybody on the phone lines, if you have a question tonight, I'm not going to push this because we don't have much time. If you have a question or comment, press 1 on the phone. Those in the chat room, if you have a question or comment, y'all know what to do. Type your question. If you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you can ask a question. If not, you know we can't do that. So anyway, Amos, let me just take a brief little break, and we'll come back and finish out this show, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to actually play this song that I played earlier. This song to me is pretty deep. I like this song, and this will give you time to think, and then we'll close out once this song is over. This is by Luther Barnes. Call It's Your Time. Check this out. And we'll be right back after this song with the rest of this interview. Amos, in the meantime, like I said, just think of things you might have forgotten or want to say. All right? So, folks, we'll be right back. Check this out.
been faithful, you've been true, and you've done all that you could do. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You applauded for the rest. Now it's your time to be blessed. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. In the vineyard for the Lord for what seems like a lifetime. You have dreamed and you've worked towards things that you wanted to accomplish for yourself. But somehow your biggest goals always seem to be just out of your reach. But the Lord told me to tell you that He knows who you are. Yes, He's seen your work and He's also seen your tears. And He wants you to know today that you're not forgotten. He's here to reward you for all your faithfulness. For He said in His word that if you would delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, not only will He give you what you need, but He promised to give you whatever you want. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Hang in there and prepare yourself for your blessing. Your time now.
Because you hung in there when time got hard.
I always enjoy hearing that song. And those of you that's been faithful, hey, that's your song. All right, Amos, welcome back to the show, everybody.
Okay.
What do you think of that song, Amos?
Oh, that's a real good song. It's a,
have you heard that before?
Yeah, I heard it a time or two before. And one song, I did think of one song he used to sing. And I think Miss Frazier started singing after she heard him sing. Well, if I can help somebody, you know, as I go along the way, then my living won't be in vain. That was one of the songs. He had several. I just can't think of all of them now. But if I may, I would like to mention one thing, like a part of his testimony, a thing that he always said. You know, due to the fact that he was, you know, well-versed in the Bible, and he always liked to talk about deep things, and I talk about things with him that I couldn't talk about with nobody else. So one of the things he always said, and it became his trademark, and anybody around you, anybody that's been around him long enough probably heard him say this. He always said that the weight of a lie is on the teller. Now, anybody he ever been around any length of time probably heard him say that, especially
what,
in a lot of
again?
Years.
Say that again. Say it again.
The weight of a lie is on the teller. You know, like if some have a weight, a burden, a consequence, you know, the weight of a lie, I mean, the heaviness of it. Although, you know, we all been hurt by fallacies in one way or another. But what he stresses the point that although you've been hurt by a lie, the person is telling us a lie, you understand, will wind up being hurt much more because the weight, you know, the weight of it is on him, the one that's telling it. And he always, like I say, he's dealing in deep things. You have to think a lot of time, you have to think twice about some of the things he say, and like discover and uncover. And we go in the Bible, and he likes to talk about the new heaven and the new earth and everything. You know, he just likes to get deep in the Bible. And that's a lot of things that people didn't know about him, and that's what I was going to mention a little later on. And that's some things I could discuss with him that I wouldn't, you know, even try to discuss with anyone else because he understood, you know, the Bible in depth. You know, we all have a basic understanding of it, but it's not real deep, you know, in the Bible. And he can explain all that I was talking about the new heaven and the new earth and all this, you know, but that's a different thing right now. But that's some of the things that's one of the things in particular that was his motto as part of him. He said, the weight of a lie. Like if someone tell a lie on you, it hurts momentarily. But the bulk of this devastation is going to come back to the one that told it rather than the one that told it on. And that's just one of the things that he advocated quite a bit. And I'm pretty sure Lennon and them probably heard him say it many times, you know, especially if they was doing that, you know. But that was one of the things I just want to, you know, get that over there. That's something, that was one of the things that he really loved, something he lived by, you know, later on, that the weight of a lie is on the teller. And we will, if we think about it, we'll know that to be the truth itself. But we all have something we have to live by. We all should have a motto, you know. In mine, of course, you didn't ask me, but if I can help somebody, if I can touch the lives of many people in a positive way while I'm here, you know, and that's my thing. If I can touch lives in a positive manner, that would be, you know, my motto. I would look upon that the same light in which Mondo would look upon that. About the weight of a lie. I don't know, maybe at some point in life he might have been devastated by somebody telling a lie only to see the detriment of the person who told it come to pass. Maybe that's what spurred him to like it. I don't know. But, you know, if someone asked me, you know, what do I do? What's my mission here on earth? What would you like to see accomplished? And I would just merely say that I would like to, I want to be able to touch many lives in a positive way while I'm here. And to help somebody's life be better, you know. I know it's a simple thing, but if everybody did this, I think we'd have a better world, you know.
So let me ask you this. What do you think he would say as far as his mission in life? Well, what would he like to be remembered by? I mean, you know him. You was his brother. He's got grandchildren that's probably is going to hear this broadcast, some of them. And what do you think now that he's gone, having known him, having probably talked about death, is, you know, billion times with him, how do you think he want to be remembered?
Man, that's a heavy question.
I mean, I'm thinking about Mars right now. That's my brother. My brother's name is Mars, okay? Now, we talk as younger when we talk a lot more when we was younger. We don't talk that much now, but I still think I have an idea of what he would say to that question. So I'm saying, y'all being a lot older, what do you think your brother would like to be remembered by? I mean, you know?
Well, Seth, that'd be pretty hard for me to answer right now without even having time to think. You know, by the time you get it over, we realize a lot of things that, you know, you wish people well, and, you know, peaceful world. We all wish that in general. But there's always something to stick out. But right now, I can't put a thing on what it was that he would advocate more than anything else. You know, of course, I just mentioned somewhat of mine, but right now, any time in the future, if I could think about it, I'll definitely, you know, pass that on.
Yeah. Well, listen, Amos, I'm going to be honest. It's been very enlightening. I don't know, these shows, because I'm a host and I'm asking the questions, but I try my best to think of what other people would want to hear. And I said, he's got a lot of grandkids, and they're on Facebook, and when I send them this clip, they may click on it and go straight to the archives and listen. And I just want them to have some answers when they go there. It's just, like I say, I know I keep saying this, but this show has many purposes. It's for many things. Not that somebody's going to die. That's not it. It's just I'm real funny, you know. Either if I figure the family don't want to be bothered, I'm the type of person, I'll drop this so cold, and I won't be interested in doing anything similar to it. Because I believe in trying, helping until I get other messages. Now, so far, it's been going really good. I wish there was more participation, but what I really want to do is create this massive email list of text phone numbers, cell phone numbers, and I want to send one message, and it goes to everybody's cell phone, reminding them that the show started in 30 minutes. That's what I really want to do. Then everybody has got a fresh reminder, and they don't have an excuse, because a lot of people really do want to hear it. They just forget because they are so busy. I know I am. But I just made up my mind, this is my contribution to the family, you know. Yes, I'm busy too. I can easily name five things I should be doing other than this show, but I just figure this is my way of giving back. You know, I'm not going to be driving all around the world saying hi to family. That's just not me. I don't have time, and I love them, but we got to just live our own lives and just see each other once a year at the social event in the summer or the banquet. And I just can't see everybody. I don't plan on seeing everybody. But I do think if we have a show like this, this is our way of stopping in periodically whenever we want to and just saying, hey, you ain't got to do it every week. I don't expect nobody to listen to the show every week. But it's just something that's there if you need it. If you want to know about Monroe Howard, there it is. Click on it. And there's Amos talking about everything he could think of about his brother. And you get a fresh understanding of his contribution. I forgot that about his eye. I actually forgot that he was wounded. That all brought it back, and you have made it very clear. So I think you've done a very good job.
Not cutting you off, but I was kind of geared to ask questions. I was thinking Linda was going to ask me stuff, and I was just asking things jotted down that she might ask and what I was going to tell her in the event that she asked. But anyway, we can do that anytime. We don't have to just do it on the air because we talked already. It ain't like we haven't got together before. And that's a good thing about us, you know. We talk all the time anyway. It's a good thing for other related people to find out, you know. But as far as me and Linda and doing Tina during her lifetime, we did a little bit more than the rest of them. But we do it now. I talked to them. She was at my party 2 weeks ago, you know. So that tells me that she's still plugged in, you know. So
yeah.
It ain't like she can't never get it no more because I'm way out trying to, you know, I've been living right here 34 years.
in this one spot. I haven't been nowhere, you know. So I am a runoff. Ain't nobody had to go nowhere looking for me, you know. I moved here in 1978. That's what, right, 34 years. And before that, I stayed in Fort Worth, you know. I haven't moved nowhere for even a little while. I haven't been out of Fort Worth 4 days in a row since I came here in 1955. So if anybody hadn't found me, well, they weren't looking for me. You know, because I've been here.
Right. I guess you.
You know what I'm talking
about. Yeah. Well, listen. Like I said, tonight we just was, you know, we just wanted to just pay homage to the late Monroe Howard, and I think that you shared several things that was important.
Hold on
a second. He has been, you know, the spotlight tonight, and I just wanted to just do one more thing before I go, and. Again, thank you for sharing all of the knowledge you know about Monroe. Okay, I really appreciate that. And don't forget, y'all, 2 weeks ago, Amos shared about himself. Anybody can go and click on that audio, and you can get all of the information on Amos himself. Just a bunch of stuff. He talked for literally an hour and a half. So I think that's the most anybody have shared, which is a good thing. So you got a chance to really share a lot of facts, and so I'm telling y'all that's a good show to listen to. You get your money's worth, so to speak, because Amos spoke a little bit more. And but before you go, Amos, I'm going to try to play this song. I have the song that you said Monroe liked. I'm going to end the show with that song. It was a song that actually Patti LaBelle sung. And we'll just let her go out with that. But before we do, again, I'm going to ask you this question, see if you can think of anything else. What do you think Monroe would say? I'm going to ask this as a different question. What do you think Monroe would say to his granddaughters and children, I should say?
What's the message he would give to the grandchildren?
Right. Now I know you don't. I know you're not him. We understand that, but they probably have a message in their own head that they, you know, because again, he had quite a few grandkids, and I remember the funeral. I remember them really being sad. What do you think he would say to them, if anything, if he passed?
Number one thing I think is the advice he would give his grandchildren. So you know, be obedient first of all to their parents. You know, just listen to them in general. Just be obedient to your parents, because we always kind of revel in the thought that, you know, a disobedient child, you know, won't live all his days. And it's just a blessing, you know, to honor your father and your mother today. It may be long. It's a lot of things that come, a good blessings that come along with honoring your father and your mother. And I think it all starts with that. And I think that's what he would stress, you know, because they were here, they have the wisdom and everything. Although we don't like what they tell us a whole lot of time, but more time than not, it goes for a good purpose. So I think he really just stressed the fact to just, you know, honor your father and your mother. And whatever you consider honor is, and, you know, we all basically think the same thing because we're not crazy. You know, we know what honoring your mother is. You know, talking back to her, cursing out, disrespecting, that's not honor. So we know what honor is, and that's what I feel like he would tell them. It's honor your father and your mother, you know. And your days will be long. And
now, we didn't talk a lot.
I
just thought of something before you hang up. We didn't talk a whole lot about his childhood, and we can't get into it like I really would like to right now. But
childhood?
Yeah, I mean, can we at the end of the show, and I should have asked this earlier, but I just can't hang up without asking it, since I just thought, how was he when y'all was coming up? I mean, was he a knucklehead early on? You know, I know everybody ain't perfect.
No, believe it or not, Monroe was really a smart individual. You know, we used to have the Easter pageants, and he would set speeches. He always, everywhere Monroe was used to go, everybody thought he was a preacher. And I guess it had that kind of anointing to follow him. So he was always an orator, he was a narrator, he was a singer. And wherever he went, people could just look for Mono to do something, you know, in that order, you know. He have had people come up and try to give him early on collection because they thought he was a preacher. And as a kid, where we come up in church, and I think he was a junior preacher or something like that, and that just kind of like grew on us. And he always was, not he's just outgoing now, he'd been that way, you know, all along. And that's what we were, I mean, you know, what you can identify with Mono, especially, you know, when he was younger. He just always were, you know, a talker, and he used to say speeches, and people used to laugh at him, and you know how little kids be cute and they be saying speeches and things. And we came up in the church, we'd always had an Easter program, and they would always look forward to him in dialogue, but we used to call it dialogue, and it's no more than a play. But he always was kind of like an actor. He always played the part of everybody looked forward to what he was going to do because, you know, he played various parts and he could play it good. Shakespeare, that's how, I guess his middle name is his name. That's part of his name, Shakespeare. You know.
Oh, his middle name is Shakespeare?
Huh?
His
Monroe
name
Jonathan
is
Shakespeare Howard. He got Monroe John. I mean, you know, I know you don't know all that. But anyway, we just kind of tease it. And, but he would always, you know, be kind of fasted with it, you know, and he said speeches and people would applaud him, and he knew it. You know, he was good at things like that. That's how he wound up taking public speaking, you know. And I thought I was good at quiz. I thought I knew stuff, so I wound up taking the quiz thing, and I did good in it. So we were just, he was a public speaker. He was outgoing. He was an old lady. He was a narrator. He said speeches. He sang songs. And I worked pubs. I worked situations out, and I was good in agriculture. When I went to work at General Dynamics, I could have got a job at Young State Department of Agriculture. But during that time, the F-111 program was new, and I thought that was exciting to me, so I actually got in the wrong field. And I got a recommendation from my advisor at home, who is the advisor of the agriculture advisor now. And but I took the aircraft building because I thought it was more exciting. So I might have missed that on something, but it's all right. But that's how we were. He was on one side, and I was on the other, you know.
Well, listen, you said a lot, you know, and again, I appreciate it, and I'm sure.
Well, I really wish Tina could have been here because I don't know what she was going to ask me, and I jotted down some things I thought she probably would have asked me, and it would have been
you
more.
You meant to say Linda. You said I wish Tina
was
here.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Linda. And,
well, listen,
I was trying to answer some questions. Uh-huh.
It's okay. You know, we got you covered a lot. You covered a whole lot of accomplishment. And if I was Monroe, I would be like, hey, you did pretty good, man. You covered a lot of bases. So I appreciate that. You know, to some people that didn't know Monroe, wasn't that close, maybe it might not have the same value. But for those that did know him, I'm sure they are really glad at what you had to say about there by Monroe. I know for a fact they're very grateful. So what I want to do, Amos, again, I just want to thank you. You didn't have to take this last minute, you know, interview, but you did. I shouldn't say last minute because actually we planned this 2 weeks
ago. Well, man, it's the least I can do, you know. I just happen to be the one that was here, and I know a few things that other people don't quite know, and I just want to straighten it out. Like I say, it's not to cause any kind of controversy or change nothing or, you know, correct anything whatsoever. Just, it's some of the few things we get away from us in life, you know. And a lot of things I didn't know, a lot of things I have learned myself, you know. So, and I know how important it could be for somebody. It might not mean something to one person, but it could mean everything to someone else.
Right. Well, let's do this, Amos. I want to wrap it up because I want to stay true to letting people
out.
Yeah,
but I got a ride supposed to be by here any minute now, and that's why I wanted to mention. It's
well,
3 minutes, as a matter of fact. 11:15. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that to you, but I just had to put that in there.
No, it's okay. Yeah. You, like I said, you did a good job. I'm wrapping this up by playing his song, You said one of his favorite songs, if I can just help somebody, my living will not be in vain. And Patti LaBelle is actually singing this to a friend of hers, but it's relevant to this situation. So we're going to end that with Patti LaBelle singing, if I can just help somebody, then my living will not be in vain. And again, I want to thank you for coming on the show, talking about your brother for a whole hour. And Linda and Tina and Roland and everybody else should mention the grandkids. Just whoever you mentioned with regards to Monroe and the...
Well, maybe we can take it to another level, sis. That's what I'm hoping, you know. Because a lot of people are getting out. I've talked to several people about it, and they think it's a good idea. Everybody I talk to about it thinks it's a good idea. So it's kind of like, you're kind of like a model, man. A lot of people are going to start doing this stuff, man. I'll tell you that straight up. You know. So you're doing a good thing yourself, and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing, you know. So it's the least I can do, man. You know, anything I can do to help at any time, just ring my bell, okay?
I hear you, and we'll be talking. So I'm going to go ahead and close out for now. But don't hang up. I want you to enjoy this song, and then the rest of y'all, don't hang up. Those y'all in the chat room, don't go nowhere. Check this song out. You know, Patti LaBelle always bring it. Again, this song is to a friend of hers, but it's still relative to Monroe. This is one of his favorite songs. You know how Patti LaBelle might change it a little bit, but hopefully it's for the better. So anyway, thank you everybody for stopping by the Booker Douglas Family Friends Network. Y'all check us out next week, 9 to 11, and you'll be blessed, okay? I love every single one of y'all, and Amos, again, thank you for coming on, and I'm going to mute you for now, and we'll just talk a little later on, all right?
You bet. Anytime, man. You know that.
All right. Okay, so that was Amos. Again, he just thought to come on again and talk about Monroe. Linda was supposed to come, but I'm sure something came up. Y'all check this out. Good night, every single one of y'all, and enjoy the rest of the, enjoy the night. This is the end. I would assume y'all going to bed after this. But check this out, Patti LaBelle.
Because if you know the history of the whole concept of whiteness, if you know the history...
That's funny. That was actually Tim Wise talking about white supremacy. That's on a regular show I do another time of the week. No, I didn't mean to play that. Here we go. This is Patti LaBelle. Sorry.
When I think of Miss Osceola McCarthy and the wonderful things she's done in her lifetime, the words of this song come to mind. Yes, they do. Thank you, Miss McCarthy. Child in me.
Will not be in vain.